Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. God is in control. And now here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to our program, NFP for Life. Betty and I are here, and we're glad to be back with you as we approach the holiday season. And we have a special program for you today, as we always do. We think all of our programs are special.
Yes.
And we'd like to open with a little reflection on Romans 12. Which we talked a little bit about last month, and we ended with conforming ourselves not to this age, but to the rightness and correctness. If Betty, you'll start and open with the prayer.
Good afternoon, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The relationship between God and man is a two-way street. Our great God gives. We must respond to his great gracious gifts. Our response is the offering of our lives, the placing of ourselves at his disposal for the accomplishment of his purposes in the world about us.
We are, once we acknowledge God's love and accept his salvation, under new management. It's not confined to loud singing or verbal exclamations. It's turning our hearts, minds, and bodies over to God's ownership and dedicating our abilities and gifts to his service.
We have all received such gifts for this purpose. They are not given to us to enhance our beauty or to assure our worldly security or even to make us more desirable or respected among the people with whom we live and labor.
They are committed to us in order to be committed back to God in and through and by way of service to our fellow men for God's sake. This is precisely the way in which our God meets the needs of our neighbor, through us and through the gifts entrusted to us.
Not all of us have these gifts entrusted to us to administer or preach or teach or finance important projects, but we all have specific abilities, love, energy, persistence, patience, sincerity, concern, creativity.
May we exercise these things upon one another and on behalf of one another. May we care for each other even as much as we care for ourselves. May we allow our God to reach and touch others, even our enemies, with his care and concern for them through us.
We ask this and we ask all things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The theme that Betty and I selected for the program today is the significance and importance of natural family planning in our pre-Cana programs. As most of you may already be aware, marriage is in crisis in our country as well as in our world. One of the lead articles in the National Catholic Register this week, November 5th to 11th, I guess it's last week, is that recent statistics that came out of the United States Census Bureau of the American Community Survey show that 49.7% of U.S. households in 2005 were married couple families. This is a 1/2 percentage point decrease over the previous reported year in 2004. This is the first time in the history of keeping statistics that married couple families are in a minority. The statistics that are reported in the register are that the marriage rate has gone down about half since 1960. The proportion of households that are married has declined from 76% in 1957 to below 50% now. And the number of non-family households has climbed. And so we feel that with all the attempts that are being made in our society and in our culture to redefine marriage and to redefine family. And the high divorce rate that we're seeing of between 50 and 53%, that it's extremely important responsibility, as mentioned in Romans, to not conform ourselves to this age, but to transform our minds and our hearts to what God wants. And so we think that, Betty and I think that being involved in pre-Cana education and teaching, that introducing natural family planning to couples who are preparing for marriage is an extremely important aspect of preparing for marriage. And so we don't want to predominantly focus so much on the pre-Cana programs themselves. And I think that we talked before and we talked amongst ourselves that we will do a program specifically on pre-Cana, but we'd like to narrow it down a little bit and talk a little bit about what the places, the appropriate places and why of natural family planning in pre-Cana programs, and a little bit about what natural family planning is, and do that as a review.
So we want to remind all our listeners out there that we are taking phone calls today. If you'd like to give us a call, 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. If you have a comment or a question, or you just want to give us a call, say hello. Let us know you're out there listening. 215-345-1570. We urge you to call. We would love to hear from you.
Especially if you have a comment on your particular impression of the state of marriage and whether or not you have an opinion about the attempts of our secular society and our political culture of attempting to redefine marriage, and whether or not what you think is important in preparing for marriage, because this program, as well as other programs, will be building on a concept, and I might as well throw in the ad right now. March 3rd, 2007, the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network and the Philadelphia Catholic Medical Association will be sponsoring our fifth annual conference at St. Mary Medical Center. And the title or the theme of the conference this year is, Do You Want to Know a Secret? Natural Family Planning, the Best Kept Secret of the Catholic Church. And the idea is to build on a discussion throughout the day from various expert speakers who will speak to the appropriate place of why it is that people in different areas of society don't know anything about natural family planning. And then to come up with a marketing program and come up with a business plan on how to market natural family planning in our society. So we plan on having an MBA present to talk about the business plan. We plan on having Judith Leonard, who is the director of the Family Life Office in Wichita, Kansas, who implemented a very successful marketing plan for natural family planning last year in their diocese. And we have a whole array of expert speakers from every aspect of generation life, college life, married life, and religious life. In talking about pre-Cana, that will speak to these issues and help us address these issues. So we're hoping that you'll stay tuned and listen every month from now until March. We're hoping that you'll consider attending the conference in March. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's over at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's not too long of a day. We give you breakfast, we give you coffee breaks, we give you lunch. The registration fee is $15 a person, $25 a couple. You can access information on pnfpn.org. The registration forms will be up in a couple of weeks. You can register online or mail them in with your money. And we think we're gonna put together a plan, and then we're gonna present it to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and try to set up a meeting with Cardinal Regali. And so we think this is really important, and Betty and I have taken this on as a special project because we really think that pre-Cana and preparation for marriage is probably one of the most important things that our church can do at turning around and reversing this degradation of marriage that's been occurring in our society. And part of that preparation is to help people understand some of the theology of the body, which we talked about before, and understand the sanctity and the meaning of why natural family planning is important. And the concepts, not so much the actual prospect of natural family planning itself, but the concept behind natural family planning, the sanctity of it. Some of the things that we're going to talk about today are going to be discussed as we go through this.
And also with the help of all this information, it will help Catholics understand what the Church teaches about NFP and why it teaches NFP and why it is against contraception. Most Catholics don't understand. It's a lack of information and ignorance that couples and families don't understand the true value of a loving, caring family by practicing NFP. So, and we're going to speak about how NFP has enriched our marriage and how God has been present and at work in our marriage.
And Betty and I have been married for 36 years, and you know our story. We're not going to repeat it all today, but very briefly, we had some major infertility problems in the beginning of our pregnancy. We were very young and very healthy, and Betty's the youngest of nine, and she had a lot of nieces and nephews, and we both wanted to have a large family. And we lost our first child in a ruptured ectopic pregnancy, and God offered us the option of adopting a child, and we very quickly and without giving too much agonizing thought to it, said yes, because I'm an adopted child, and I had five adopted children just on my side of the family alone. And so our oldest son, Drew, is adopted, and an absolute beautiful supreme gift of our lives, and an opportunity that we have, that we cherish to this day. And 2.5 years later, our son Greg was conceived. And Betty went through a full-term pregnancy, and the doctor almost missed the delivery and delivered. And he's an absolute supreme gift of our lives and our marriage. And then 2 years later, we lost another child with another ectopic pregnancy, and with both fallopian tubes being gone, that was the end of our fertility as a married couple by the age of 30. No one knows what God's plan is for them or their families or their fertilities. But as Betty and I now have matured in our relationship after 36 years, and our children are older and married and have grandchildren of ours now, we can look back and see that that was God's plan for us, and how special these children are in our family, and how special they can be in your family. And so you have to be open to God's plan. And so the very first premise that we would like to introduce, the very first idea or concept that needs to be introduced in pre-Cana, is that God is the source of marriage as a sacred community of life and love. God invented marriage. It was the first sacrament that was created by God in the Garden of Eden, and it speaks to this in the following two readings from Genesis.
And God created man in his image, and in the divine image he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." And that's from Genesis 1:28. But God already knows how many children you're going to have. He already has that plan. It's not our plan, it's his plan. And also in Genesis 2, it says, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two shall become one body."
And just these two quotations alone speak volumes to a lot of the debates that are going on right now. As far as the definition of redefining marriage is concerned, that would allow for homosexual marriage. It says in Genesis, male and female he created them. There's nothing ambiguous about that. And then the second quote is directly from Adam, who was looking for and searching for communion. And we're created in the image and likeness of God to be in communion. We're not created to exist alone. And God has created in communion from, you know, with the Trinity from the beginning of all time. And our relationship, the creation of man in the image and likeness of God from the theology of the body, is to share in that communion and reflect in that triune communion. And the only way that we can do that is to have someone who is created to be a fit. And so when Adam sees Eve after she's created and they come out of the sleep, and you read the story in Genesis 2, he says, "This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And so you leave your parents, you leave your mother and your father, you leave to your family of origin, and you cling to your wife, and the two of them become one in marriage. That's not ambiguous. It has to be a male and a female. So it speaks to the purpose of marriage. It speaks to the unity of marriage. It speaks to one of the primary focus teachings of marriage, that it's for the union of the man and the woman together. And it's very definitive and very defined. And it cannot be altered or changed by some law or some regulation or some congressman or senator coming in, irrespective of the attempted respect that we want to have for the dignity of all people. You cannot change the word of God, and you cannot change the inherent meaning of something that God created. You can attempt to, but it would be a mistake. And because of the sin that was created in the garden, and because of the errors that have crept into our world as a result of that sin, we have made many mistakes in man's interpretation of how this is supposed to play out. And so thousands of years went by after that creation where man had made many mistakes, and finally God sent his son to come down and show us exactly what it was that we were supposed to be doing.
And Christ redeems and sanctifies marriage. In Matthew 19, it says, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no human being must separate."
Now, this particular quote in Matthew 19 was actually in response to a question that the Pharisees had asked Jesus when they were trying to trick him. The Pharisees were always trying to trick Jesus into violating or altering or blaspheming or giving a wrong answer to what the law taught. They wanted to be such sticklers of the law. They wanted to stick to the law. So they said, "Rabbi, is it not true that Moses allowed divorce?" And Jesus answered to the Pharisees, "Yes, it's only through the hardness of your hearts that Moses allowed divorce. But in the beginning, it was not so." And that's where John Paul began writing his Theology of the Body series of lectures that he presented that has just now been reprinted with a new translation that's available from Pauline Media and the Daughters of St. Paul. That says male and female he created them. That's the new title of the Theology of the Body interpretation. So, you know, this is not something that the church just made up. This is something that God created right from the very beginning. And to give couples this foundation in their pre-Cana programs is absolutely essential for them to understand that there is a holiness and there is a sacramental nature to the sacrament about which they're about to receive. And so
I just want to remind our listeners that we are taking phone calls at 215-345-1570. Give us a call if you have a comment or a question. And we do have a call, so hold on one second.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Oh, we're doing great. Thanks for calling NFP for Life. What can we do for you?
My name's Leanne, and I was just wondering how natural family planning ties in with pre-Cana.
How what?
Including the conference.
I'm sorry.
How natural family planning ties in with the pre-Cana program.
Yes.
And when the conference is going to be held.
Well, the rest of our program today will talk about how natural family planning ties in with pre-Cana, but one of the mandates from the Archdiocesan pre-Cana program that was just released this past September is that at least 1 to 2 hours of time needs to be committed to teaching about natural family planning. That would not be an entire class, but at least the foundation and the basis of why couples should consider natural family planning for their use for family planning in their marriages, and what the church teaches and why it teaches that artificial contraception is not something that's validly acceptable. And then the conference itself is going to be March 3rd of 2007 over at St. Mary Medical Center in Langhorne, and you'll be able to access information on the website for pnfpn.org, or you can call the radio station here, and there'll be information that you'll be able to get from their website also.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks. So to follow up on Betty's previous comment, the church wants everybody to know out there that this whole concept of a marriage and natural family planning is good news. It's not something that's hidden in a closet. It's not something that's locked away. It's not something that's supposed to be a secret. This is exciting. This is good news. This is God's plan. As Betty said, he has a plan for all of us. This is God's plan to allow us to participate in the creation of new life. And the only way that that can be done is between a man and a woman, not in a laboratory. And so the good news about marriage and the good news about sexual intimacy is that it expresses and is an image of God's covenantal love for us. God has a covenant with us that he will love us and be our father and take care of us forever. And he wants us to live in communion with him and the Trinity forever in heavenly bliss, in a communal relationship, in a loving, intimate relationship, not a physical relationship. And a manifestation and a reflection of that relationship between us and God, the relationship between Christ and the church, as mentioned in Ephesians 5, is reflected in the marriage between a man and a woman and their acceptance and their use of natural family planning.
Marriage is a cornerstone of God's plan for humanity, and family life is where some of the greatest blessings of life are found. I mean, really, when you think about it, family life. Most of us are called to the vocation of marriage, and to be married and have children is such a great and beautiful cornerstone of God's plan for humanity. We expect that. And your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and sexuality is a sacred gift from God. So he is meaning our bodies are a sacred gift, and we are temples of the Holy Spirit. When we engage in marriage and the sacrament of marriage, we renew our marital vow every time we engage in the nuptial embrace. How beautiful is that?
And the greatest example that you can have of love is the giving of your entire self. And I think that that love is infinitely and ultimately manifested in Christ's giving of himself in the crucifixion on the cross. He gave totally of himself out of love to redeem us, to sanctify us, to give us the opportunity to be able to come back to him and be resurrected, if you will, and reunited with him. And so that total giving of oneself that's manifested in one of the holiest days that we celebrate in the Catholic Church, the entire Paschal mystery, is manifested and reflected. And I know people don't think about it this way, but they need to think about it this way, because it needs to touch the deepest core of our souls as far as where we're coming from in our approach to marriage. And if we don't, then we're going to fail miserably. We have another phone call. Hello?
Yes, hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Dan.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a member of the pre-Cana team for Our Lady of Sacred Heart Parish.
Wonderful.
In and our team's been formed, I guess, about for 2 or 3 years now, and we've had, I believe, 6 different sessions. We usually have a session every 6 months. We have a couple who do a great job of talking about natural family planning.
Fantastic.
But as a team, we want to incorporate it more into our presentation.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if you could point us to some resources that we could use. Our deacon is very much out front in this, and we've gone to Christopher West's Theology of the Body presentations. And we're trying to find a way to really bring this home and make this present to the people that attend our pre-Cana session, which runs for 2 days. It's usually a weekend. Can you point us to anything that we can use?
Yes. You want to get in touch with Ascension Press.
Okay.
And you want to take a look at Christopher West's God's Plan for a Joy-Filled Marriage.
Okay.
And it's a marriage prep program to help couples understand and embrace God's plan, and it's entirely based on theology of the body. They have a couples workbook. They have some resources that you can access, and they have some tapes that are put together by Christopher and his pre-Cana team. I don't know if you know his history, but originally he was out in the Diocese of Phoenix and
Colorado, was it Denver?
Or Denver, I'm sorry. Yeah, Denver, Colorado. And he worked for the Family Life Office, and he coordinated all the pre-Cana programs out in Denver before he came east and resided in the Philadelphia area. So
okay.
He's put together 8 talks that are based on the theology of the body, and he's incorporated it into a workbook that will provide you with invaluable information as far as how you can incorporate it a little bit better into pre-Cana through tapes and slides and things like that. Additionally, the Family Life Office in the Archdiocese is putting together a speakers bureau where you can get in touch with them at the Family Life Office and have speakers come out. And there's an entire series of slides that were put together by the Archdiocese that are specifically dedicated to pre-Cana couples about theology of the body and natural family planning.
Okay.
Also, there are over, the last time I looked, 1,700 websites on NFP. But one of the better ones is the CCL.org, and that's
okay.
The Couple-to-Couple League.
Okay.
There's Marquette University has a program, excellent. And the beauty of that, of looking on the internet, is they have a lot of information, questions that are commonly asked, things that will help you to explain and speak to your group. But also we have an organization that we're involved with, and it's the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network, and it's PFN. Go ahead. I get this wrong every time.
PNFPN.org, Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network.org. And we have a lot of links and a lot of resources on there, and we have a mailing list of over 500 people who support and teach and encourage natural family planning. And that's why we have the conference every year, to create a network and let people come together and get this information out. And we're hoping to move this from the back burner to the front burner, especially in the pre-Cana program. So we certainly appreciate all that you and your team do at promoting, first of all, participating in the pre-Cana program in your parish and promoting natural family planning in your pre-Cana team. Because if the pre-Cana team's not sold on it, then what happens in a lot of parishes is they show a 15-minute videotape, or they give lip service to it and say, natural family planning, that's what the church teaches. There's some brochures in the back if you're interested. Go ahead and pick them up.
That's exactly right. It's funny. We started out almost in that mode. As our program has evolved, we've realized how closely tied the theology of the body and NPF is to the marriage and the marriage covenant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now it almost seems like a very natural part of the, actually a mandatory part of the whole program. You really can't talk to people about how to have a successful marriage unless you talk to them about how to handle theology of the body and sexuality, particularly nowadays.
Right.
But it's great to hear that it's actually taking on more of a spiritual as opposed to a medical
right.
tenor, and, mm-hmm. and so it's great to hear, but keep up the good work, and thank you very much for that information.
Thank you very much.
And one more resource. It's the biggest resource, I think, and it's a book. You can even buy it in Barnes & Noble or on the Internet, The Art of Natural Family Planning by John and Sheila Kipley.
Okay.
And this book will tell you everything you need to know about NFP, every possible reason why, if you have allergies or you have a medical problem, whatever, it will take you step by step. There is absolutely no reason why you can't practice NFP. And
okay,
it's faith-based, but also very strong information medically, too.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay,
thanks for the
thank
call.
You for
All
the
right,
call.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So as you can see, there is a mandate from the Archdiocese. There also is some interest as far as the pre-Cana teams, and they are very much interested and very much excited, but also very much in need of getting information and getting education. And so that's where we come in. That's our ministry. That's why we're here. That's why we have this program. That's why we decided to do this topic. And it's not really about us. Betty and I sit down and pray every month, and the Holy Spirit guides us. Seriously,
we never really know where we're going.
Through
or with
the Adoration
this,
Chapel, it just comes up, and they say, you know, we were talking last week and said, you know, let's do the program on NFP and pre-Cana because it's been on our hearts. We just finished a pre-Cana program at our parish a couple of weeks ago. We're going to a pre-Cana program tomorrow at St. Simon and Jude to talk for an hour. And you really can't do a great job in an hour. We can't even accomplish what we want
well,
to accomplish
also
in here,
too,
here in this hour. So
I personally think that it's the NFP, I mean, the pre-Cana team needs to really become educated on NFP. Because if you work as a team and you understand the true meaning of the church's teaching on sexuality, you can understand the beauty of NFP. And coming in for an hour is great, but you don't have the same relationship as a team would as you build from, talk to talk. And I can honestly say that, you know, for years and years and years, most parishes wanted to avoid the NFP talk because of our secular society, and they didn't want to turn people off. But when people hear this message, they are so amazed, first of all, that they haven't heard it before, and secondly, that how enriching it is for their marriage. If you can trust and love your spouse enough to want to practice NFP, then you can have a loving marriage. But people into secular society are so frightened of pregnancy and trusting one another that they contracept. And contraception's a contradiction to our love and our trust to each other. So it's very important that our pre-Cana teams become enriched in this NFP philosophy. And also, you know, it's our priest's responsibility, but it's the married couple's responsibility to go out and evangelize this to the pre-Cana couples, to people, young couples in your parish, even high school students. They need to know this before they even get into pre-Cana, before they decide to even marry, because this helps them with their own sexuality and understand how important self-giving love is and that sex belongs in a marriage and not anywhere else. And that's what's so important. So I thank you for that call because it encourages me because I wonder, you know, it's so difficult to get this message out. And knowing now that this parish, Sacred Heart, what is it, Our Lady of Sacred Heart in Hilltown, actually cares about NFP. Thank you so much, Dan. I appreciate it greatly. So
one of the other aspects to follow up on what Betty just said is that chastity, by safeguarding the dignity of sexual intimacy through self-control and mutual respect, is of central importance both within and outside of marriage. And so like Dan said, he feels that it's so much more pertinent and significant that this is being elevated above the medical model, above the secular model, to a spiritual level. This sexual intimacy that a couple, a man and a woman, share in a marital embrace is sacramental. It was instituted by God as an outward sign to give grace. That's the definition of a sacrament. And it's a share in the intimacy that God wants to share with us eternally in heaven. And it gives us a glimpse of that. And it's not to be abused or taken lightly. And if you can present this information to adults, they'll come to an understanding, if they reflect and they search their conscience, that this is the way they need to live. God has established an inseparable link between the unitive, the mutual love of the spouses, and the procreative, the openness to new life dimensions of the conjugal act. And like Betty said, people are afraid, you know, of pregnancy, but there's no reason to be afraid of pregnancy because...
Well, first of all, why do you get married? I mean, when I got married, I knew the reason why. One of the main reasons was... Sure, I was in love, but I wanted to be a mother. I wanted to have children. Children are a supreme gift of a marriage. If you have a child, a little baby in your arms, you can't get over how what a miracle this is. How this even occurred, and what a beautiful miracle. And we need to appreciate the fact that this is God's gift to us. As a married couple, is to have a child. And those that can't have a child long to have a child. And there are children for everyone, even if you are unable to conceive, because God has created a lot of situations out in this big wide world where children need a parent, a mother and a father. But it's our greatest gift for our marital vocation is to be blessed with a child. And amazingly enough, NFP, people have a concept that NFP is contraception. It's birth control. It really isn't birth control at all. It's fertility awareness.
It's a lifestyle. It's the way you live your life. It's not a product. It's not a commodity. It's not a gimmick. It's not a gadget. It's not a thing. It is a lifestyle. It is incorporated into the very meaning and essence of how you live your married life with your spouse. And part of that married life, part of the preparation for marriage, part of the institution of marriage, is to discuss whether or not you will have children, how many children you will have, when you will have the children, under what circumstances that might occur that might deter you from having a child at a particular time. Very unfortunately, in some situations, there are people who come into medical conditions where they're advised to not conceive and carry a pregnancy anymore because it could be life-threatening to the mother as far as a pregnancy is concerned, with like a breast cancer or something like that. And so... you have to have a valid reason for why you would postpone having children, because it's God that instituted this sacrament, and it's God that dedicated it to the procreation of children, and it's God who's decided how many children you should have, and it's our responsibility to respond to God and to say, yes, Lord, thy will be done. And one of the amazing things, you know, I've made the point several times in the past on this program, as an English major in college, the older I get, the more I come to an understanding that the words that we say absolutely mean something. They reflect our inner thoughts and our inner feelings. And when we say the Our Father, we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Meaning, yes, I give up my will. Why? Because I love you, and I'm giving myself, my will, my free will to you, God, and allowing you to decide what will happen in my life. You talk to anybody. We had a couple, two moms on here about a year or so ago, Sheila Gallagher and Mary Meyer, both of whom come from beautiful families who did say yes to God in their marriage and who did say yes to life. And one of them has 6 children and the other has 7 children, and they came on to talk about their children and their saying yes and what it means to them and their family. And is it tough? Yeah. And is it crazy? Yeah. But is it fun? Absolutely. And you look at these children, there is nothing other than gift that comes to your mind when you look at these children. Absolute, total, pure gift.
Well, not only that, but these women are faith, their husbands and themselves are faith-filled families. And they truly, truly believe that children are a gift. And they are feeling so blessed that God is blessing them. Now, that's not to say that everybody should have 7 children, but God already knows how many children you're going to have. He already decided that I'm only going to have 2 children. I know people that have 1 child, and no matter what they do, they're unable to conceive. So it doesn't mean that everyone is having a large family. Some people want a large family, believe it or not.
But I think you ought to tell them how large your family is.
Well, I have to say, I would like to mention my dear mother.
And I'd like to dedicate this program to her memory, because we meant to mention that in the beginning,
yeah.
And I was remiss in doing that. But
my dear mother passed away on October 26th in my arms after we prayed the rosary. And she was 95 years old, and I'm the youngest of 9 children. And she was never ill. She just wore out. But anyway, at her funeral, my mother had 9 children and 144 grandchildren. She had grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great. And, of course, all of those children and grandchildren had spouses. So, I mean, the numbers just grew and grew and grew, all from one loving mother and father. So how beautiful is that? My mother had nothing to her name. She had no home. She didn't have a house. She didn't have a car. But she had the greatest blessings that God had given her, and it was her children and her great and her grandchildren and her great-great-grandchildren. And she knew everyone by name, just as Jesus knows every one of us by name. Even before we are born, he knows us.
32 grandchildren, 73 great-grandchildren, and 39 great-great-grandchildren, a total of 144.
So, and never lonely, because she always was surrounded by a lot of her family. So I'm not saying that people should have such large, crazy families, but NFP helps us, because NFP is, it teaches us fertility awareness, but one of the purposes of NFP is that we are called to be responsible parents. We are called to have responsible parenthood, so that with regards to physical or economic or psychological or social conditions, responsible parenthood is exercised by those who prudently and generously decide to have more children, and by those for serious reasons and with due respect to moral precepts, decide not to have additional children for either a certain or an indefinite period of time. That's in Humani Vitae. And we're saying that our church says we are expected as married couples to be open to life and love, and that every act of the nuptial embrace should be open to love and to life. If we are unable financially, emotionally, psychologically, economically to have a child at this time, maybe you're out of a job, or, you know, you have some physical condition or emotional condition, the church isn't telling you that you should have as many children as you can possibly have. They're telling you to be responsible to the children that you already have, to be able to love them, to educate them, to feed and clothe them, and that if you're unable to do that with other children, that you are to practice natural family planning. And natural family planning is just fertility awareness. It's knowing when you're fertile and when you're not. And if you are fertile, then you should abstain. And that's when the use of natural family planning comes into effect.
Now, the big argument that everybody makes, and I'll answer and respond to this right now in case somebody calls and asks, is, well, what's the difference between contracepting to prevent the birth of a child and abstaining from sexual intimacy when you're fertile to not have a child? Isn't the outcome the same? And yes, the outcome is the same. And yes, the intent is the same. You know, it's not time in our marriage right now for us to have a child. But the means by which you come to that end is totally different. Remember earlier we said, both in from the Bible, from quotes, from the catechism, from encyclicals, from the popes, that God created marriage and there are two inseparable aspects of marriage, the unitive and the procreative. With natural family planning, you are not separating the two. You are not having a pleasurable act and taking away the procreative aspects of it. You are open to life when you're having sexual intimacy when you're not fertile. You just happen to be not fertile. God created it that way biologically. And you're open to life when you are fertile if you engage in sexual intimacy. But with contraception, you are saying no to the Holy Spirit in the bedroom. You are saying no to God and his creative efforts. He may not want to create that month, but you're still saying no. You don't even know what God's intent is. You've closed your will to be open to his, and you're saying, I know better. I'm going to use this product. I'm going to intervene. I want the unitive. I want the pleasure. I want the togetherness. I want the intimacy. But I don't want to conceive, and I don't care what you want to do, God, but I don't want this child at this particular point in time. And so I'm going to have my cake and eat it too. And that's what you're saying when you contracept. And NFP is not Catholic contraception. It's not Vatican roulette. It's not something that you're taking a chance on. In fact, some of the fruits of natural family planning, we'll go through a little bit list here before we close, is that natural family planning is 98 to 99% effective. Obviously, you have to have something that works if you're going to espouse it. It's not toxic to a woman's system. We've done programs in the past talking about the negative aspects, increased risk of cancer, heart attack, blood clots, phlebitis, stroke, and all kinds of issues, including death. Every year in the United States, young women die as a result of complications from using hormonal contraceptives. Every year. Every year. Not a lot, not a high number, but in the hundreds, they die every year. And around the world, it adds up to the thousands. How do you respond to that when you go for your judgment before the heavenly throne and you've died from a complication from a hormonal contraceptive? And what do you leave behind as a legacy when maybe there was an intent that you be in this world and get married and have children and contribute to society? We just don't know what we're doing to our culture and our bodies, you know, when we do this. Natural family planning promotes fertility awareness. As Betty said, you don't even, most women don't even know when they're fertile. They have no concept, no clue. We walk into pre-Cana classes and we ask the men, you know, we ask the couples, you know, when is a man fertile? We rarely get an answer. We ask the women, when are women fertile? We get all kinds of answers that are all incorrect. One day a month. One day a month. That's it. And there's a couple of other days that you could potentially be fertile with, you know, mucus secretions. But beyond that, and women don't know and men don't know. In addition, the low divorce rate is thought to be associated with the promotion of dialogue and the shared decision making. God forbid you sit down, you discuss your marriage. Where are you going to go for your honeymoon? What kind of dress? What kind of tuxedo? What kind of food? What band? Who we're going to get if it's a DJ? What color, you know, what car you're going to rent? All these details. Where you're going to live, your apartment, your furniture, everything. You don't discuss your children. You don't discuss how many children you're going to have before you get married. How could you get married and not discuss how many children you're going to have? How could it not be an issue? How could it not be a topic that you would bring up and discuss? So it has to be discussed at the pre-Cana level. It has to be discussed at the engaged level. People have to come to a conclusion. Maybe you might say, I want 10 children, and you only get 3, but that's God's will. But at least you were open to 10. But you can't sit there and say, I don't want any, because then you're precluding that you should even get married. Then it wouldn't be a valid marriage. If you go into a marriage in the Catholic Church with the intent that you don't want any children, you violated the very basic premise for coming to the Catholic Church to get married in the first place. And the conference of that sacrament on each other is invalid because you are not accepting the openness to life that is part of the basic fundamental principle of a Catholic marriage. So you can't get married and say, I don't want to have children. Then your marriage is not valid in the eyes of the church. And this also speaks indirectly to homosexual relationships because they can't have kids. So it violates the natural law. And when you know all this and you come into an awareness of this, it all falls into place. It all makes sense. It's all reasonable, logical. Plus, it's spiritually correct because it's God-given and God-driven.
And it also can assist in identifying health problems, which can cause infertility. Most women, as Les said, and we see it over and over and over again in pre-Cana, they don't know what their fertility is. They have no idea. They don't, and if they are infertile, they don't know that either. NFP can help you understand your fertility. It assists couples in achieving pregnancy when they want to get pregnant. But, you know, couples that contracept, when do you stop? You don't know when to stop. And my little motto is, and I say this to my kids all the time, who are we making rich here? I mean, it's expensive. But NFP costs nothing. It's your body. You learn your body. It's the greatest gift that God has given you, and you can learn your fertility. So it's used to identify your fertility or even help you identify your infertility. If you have infertility issues, you will be able to find that out if you practice NFP. And usually people that are having difficulty achieving a pregnancy are asked to do some form of NFP to understand their cycles. And it can assist couples in achieving a pregnancy. And we have another caller. No, I'm sorry. No caller. Okay. Go ahead, Leslie.
The other aspects of the fruits of natural family planning, there's a honeymoon effect. You know, people normally that don't cohabit and are not sexually active prior to marriage are anticipating being together with intimacy for the first time. That's the way it's supposed to be. Well, when you do have to abstain for a short period of time, maybe 7, 8, 9 days, you're anticipating coming back together again. So the honeymoon's next Thursday when you're out of your fertile phase and into your infertile phase. It's holistic. It's healthy. You give all of yourself, including your cycle, to your spouse, and it respects God's plan by not separating the unitive and the procreative aspects that we've mentioned. I'm not going to get into anything relative to contraception. We talked a little bit about some of the resources, but I do want to mention this coming Sunday, the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania is sponsoring their Stand Up for Life dinner. Their guest is Mark Forrest. Their MCs are Molly Kelly and Kim Savage. It's at the Wyndham Franklin Plaza Hotel at 17th and Race Street in Philadelphia. The reception is 4 to 5 p.m. and the dinner is at 5. The tickets are $40 or $48 a piece. And you can contact the Pro-Life Union at 88 Pennsylvania Avenue in Orland or go to their website. And although the seating was supposed to be reserved before November 17th, you maybe even be able to buy a ticket at the door. There should be some availability, but there's usually 1,400 to 1,500 people that attend this dinner along with some vendors. So we encourage you to stand up for life. We encourage you to promote natural family planning by supporting radio stations like Holy Spirit Radio, who supports life and supports us in our ministry, and support organizations like PNFPN.org. That has all the websites, and we'll close with a prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
God bless.
Have a great holiday weekend. Thank you.
You've been listening to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. NFP for Life is produced by Holy Spirit Radio and can be heard on the third Friday of every month at 4 p.m. and encores the following Sunday at 2 p.m.